It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45 with some NFL news and notes. At 2:30, why do May 22nd and 23rd matter? Musical instruments, for one. And in mere minutes, we have some updates on the Jimbo Saban feud, and the Dallas Mavericks are on the brink of elimination now after getting beat once again by the Golden State Warriors last night. I'm Trey Elling. Cameron Parker is behind the glass, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
All right, hour number three. Let's just clear something up, Trey, before we get started. Not only was he playing behind you, but he is willing to back you up. Your man Kevin from Whitestone Brewery says, I vouch for Trey. He played in front of us. So that is now official. Another listener says,
thank you, Kevin.
Another listener says, one of Trey's drives is still in my front yard. I live in Round Rock. So apparently that is a truth as well.
This person says, hey, the Whitestone Brewery crew saw Trey killing it at the tournament. That dude was hitting bombs.
There you go.
That's not true. Nobody is going to say that I was hitting bombs, but I was getting the ball in the air at times.
Someone else says, I saw Tom on the course driving around, but I didn't see Trey. What was your starting group, Ronald?
17B.
There you go. See, he's even got that information for you. How dare you all insinuate he didn't play?
By the way, cruel, cruel start to a shotgun tournament like that, or a shotgun start to a tournament, having to start on a par 3. And we started on the closest to the pin par 3, too. Which is a lot of pressure.
Yeah, it really is. Starting on a closest to the pin or a long drive, I've always felt, is pretty tough.
Yeah.
Both of those are kind of tough.
Mm-hmm.
So glad the Mullet Open went well over the end of the week, and hope your weekend went well. Also, lots of stuff out there today. If you want to jump in on the Specs text line, 337-3776. And we even have a texter helping us to answer a question about this Aggie story. But let's get into it first before we get there. Obviously, late last week, there was discussion about Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Throw in a little Deion Sanders. We even got a little Steve Spurrier in over the weekend. Spurrier trolling Jimbo and the Aggies for some reason. I didn't know he and Nick were buddies, but maybe they are.
I guess they did cross paths in the SEC when Saban was at LSU, and then again when Saban was at Bama and he was at South Carolina.
Yeah, he said, quote, did Saban say something that wasn't true, among other things. So that's got some people talking. But Trey, it's also Jimbo that continues to talk over the weekend. KSAT in San Antonio aired an interview that they did on Friday where the coach was visiting to an talking to an alumni club, traveling around like a lot of coaches are right now. And this is the crux of what he said. Quote, I just researched this. Of the 11 guys we have in place that came early, one guy has an NIL deal. So all these stories you are hearing are complete lies. End quote. And Trey, one of our texters says they have heard that name is Evan Stewart. Is the guy.
That's the wide receiver.
The wide receiver, the Aggie that has an NIL deal as an early enrollee, according to one of our texters, is Evan Stewart.
Yeah, he may have the one official NIL deal in terms of endorsing something, but how many of those other guys are getting paid just based on the fact that they are on that roster? Because that exists a lot of other places too, by the way. So how many of those A&M guys are now making a little bit of money because they're merely on the roster? And we're early enrollees. It's probably most, if not all, 11.
Right. I mean, ultimately, that's part of what we don't know. And then it's also the part I would say, who cares? But a lot of people do.
I don't care, except that Jimbo is insisting that only one of these 11 guys is making money right now, and that's BS.
No, I know. And that
stop lying, Jimbo. Just shut up.
But
I know you're incapable of doing it. Stop freaking talking. Find whatever PR. Like pre-fashioned, pre-written statement that you need to come up with, and keep saying that over and over again when you're asked about this. Because all you're doing is going to bury yourself further by continuing to give us details that we can then cross-check. That's it.
Yeah. Except, like I said the other day,
I don't know why I'm so angry for your guy. Your guy's the one that's burying y'all right now. I should be happy about this.
I told you the other day, though, that's not why they hired him. They didn't hire him they didn't hire him for media savvy. They didn't hire him to release statements. They hired him to be Jimbo Fisher, and that's what he's doing.
I get that, but at a certain point, you have to start using tact with things like this, where your livelihood could be on the line. if people start to go in and really look at the details of what it is that you're talking about, because you are offering up so many details.
If he had responded with, Saban's jealous because we're doing it better than he is, would that have been all right?
Perfect.
Okay.
But he went on for 8 minutes. And when you go on for 8 minutes, you're going to end up saying too much.
And they are, right. And again, it's like I mentioned last week. There's something Saban is accusing him of. We think we may have figured it out. And he is upset about it. And that's what they're fighting about. And you've kind of laid it out today. I think what they're fighting about is this notion of that the incentive is before you get there. That, let's say there's $100,000 to be had. Nick would say that if the $100,000 is presented ahead of time and it's the reason the kid shows up to campus, that's bad. And Jimbo might even tell us to say it to the media, because he's being pretty definitive about it, that he would also agree that's bad. He's just saying A&M's not doing it. Nick is saying once you get to campus, I don't care if you make $100,000 or $500 million, but you have to get to campus first. So it's about the timing of like when the money is allowed to take effect, or when is it allowed to be an incentive? I'm tired of hearing about the word incentive. It's an incentive at any point. What we're arguing about is when, Trey, can it become an incentive?
Yeah, and Nick Saban, I did see him in that same meeting with boosters talk about how it is unsustainable to keep paying these guys, even when they're on campus, this much money, because it does turn into a bidding war at a certain point. Mm-hmm. But I think the specific problem right now is luring a guy either from high school to your place or from one school to another based on promises of money. And the most egregious example we have right now is what's happening at Miami. And he's had some Ruiz has had some interesting things to say as well. I'd love to get him on the show. I may try and make a run for us with him. But the other thing to think about here on Nick Saban's side of it all is that Nick Saban was speaking to boosters. And even though, yeah, there were people there and people weren't banned from having their cell phones out to record the conversations, he didn't have a microphone in front of his face. So it's not like he was making official statements to the public. Now, I say that understanding that in this day and age, you always have to have in the back of your mind the possibility that you are being recorded, if not filmed. And clearly that's what happened here. But hopefully the SEC or anybody who's critical of Nick Saban in this situation is giving him at least a little bit of a pass because of where it was said and how it was ultimately released. That's why the audio quality is so bad.
I think he would have been shocked if it didn't get out. Honestly,
You think he said it with intent then?
Yeah, I think on some level he wanted that statement out there, even if it was just among the boosters that would then go out and discuss it with others. I don't know if he know it was going to go that viral. Maybe not, but I think he assumed that would get out there.
The fact that I don't think he believed it would have gotten out like that, which is why he was so quick to go on Feinbaum and apologize to both Jimbo and Dion. And to say that he reached out to them to try and apologize to them, too.
He apologized for the specifics of it. I think he wants us to believe that he got caught up in it, never should have mentioned A&M specifically, never should have mentioned Jacksonville State specifically, and he just should have talked about the system.
Right.
That's what he wants us to believe. I don't know.
I actually believe him there. I do not think that he was intending to try and bury A&M with what he was saying in that moment.
Yes,
bury them nationally.
Yeah, I'm still on the side. I'm still in kind of that, maybe it's a conspiracy world or in the weeds kind of world, but I think he was talking to the boosters in the room. I think he was saying, A&M is at a different place than you might think. Even Jackson State is doing some things you might not think. Y'all need to figure this out if you want to keep up.
I agree with that conspiracy, by the way. I think that makes a lot more sense than him in a very roundabout way trying to trash talk A&M in a manner that ends up being a national talking point for a news cycle.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was more accidental than anything else. But above all else, yeah, he was definitely telling those guys, hey, look, we need to make sure our ducks are in a row here, because clearly a lot of other places are. And they're also making sure that they're doing it as above board as possible. Now, there are exceptions, the A&Ms, the Jackson States of the world, but there are collectives that are being really smart about this and making sure to run everything through compliance while also ensuring that they are able to hook incoming guys and guys who are currently here up with as much money as they could possibly be making anywhere in college football, unless it's somebody we don't want, Chad, and then we're going to let somebody else come in and bribe them away from Tuscaloosa.
Now, just to play devil's advocate, since you mentioned both of them, how do we know A&M and Jackson State have not crossed all the T's and dotted all the I's? How do we know that their collectives have not done their due diligence?
Oh, we don't. And I assume that most have not done their due diligence in that regard. I guess it's one of the fortunate things about being a fan of the University of Texas is that's the side of things that we are going to make sure have buttoned up. And quite honestly, I feel like A&M is probably pretty buttoned up in that regard as well. But there are a lot of schools that are not, and it would surprise me if Jackson State was completely buttoned up there. It would kind of surprise me if Alabama was totally buttoned up in that regard. Or maybe Nick Saban wasn't allowing it. It was squashing any attempts at a collective up to this point. Now, or I guess the collective being as active as they are at A&M in Texas, and now it's about to become more of a fair game situation.
Well, let's go to a technical level. If I ask Jimbo Saban and Steve Sarkisian what it means to be buttoned up, would they give me the same answer? Because I hear these guys talk and they don't go into detail and they don't go into specifics. Do you think they'd all have the same definition of buttoned up?
Well, what do you think the definition of buttoned up is? Why don't we start with you and me and then we'll go from there.
The definition as it is stated now under the NCAA?
What do you think buttoned up means with regards to NIL?
Buttoned up means, as I'm understanding it, no one's allowed to talk to anybody except compliance.
Right. That's kind of my definition, too, that everything runs through compliance. Before anything is offered up to a kid, it is run through compliance to make sure that that's okay. And at that point, you're going through compliance to go down the proper channels to communicate with that kid, with his family, with the person representing him to see if that's something that they would be interested in.
Yeah, and the way I'm understanding it, only compliance can do that. Coach right. can't do it. Agent can't do it.
So I
the
think,
collective can't do it.
I think that they would give similar answers in that regard, like more similar than different answers, I guess. They're not going to be verbatim, excuse me, but right. I think that the word compliance is probably drilled into these coaches' heads at this point.
So here's a technical question. When Jimbo Fisher says, of the 11 guys we have in place that came in early, one has an NIL deal, how did he find that out? Compliance? He can't ask the player, right? He can't walk up to Evan Stewart and say, do you have an NIL deal? Or can he? Because now it's official, he's on campus, and it's okay for them to talk about it?
No, I think he can.
Now they're allowed to talk about it.
I think he can straight up ask them, do you have an NIL deal? He can't say, hey, would you like an NIL deal? I don't think that's legal.
No, of course not.
I think
not.
He can go ask any of them. But my guess is that there's somebody on the football staff who is in close contact with compliance that Jimbo can say, hey, can you find out this answer for me, please?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess it has to go through compliance.
But it could be like the chief of staff for the football. It could be his chief of staff who knows who to get in touch with to find out that information.
Yeah. So it's the weirdest part, I think, of the whole, not weirdest, but one of the parts of the Fisher-Saban thing that, again, fascinates me. I think you're right in that, and maybe Sark would be right there with him, to agree on what it would be. Saban is saying Fisher's doing that he did it with that class. Fisher is firing back with, oh, really? Well, number one, I didn't do it. But let me tell you, he does. He does exactly what he's accusing me of. That's kind of what it feels like the two of them are doing. Is that fair? Like, are you hearing that as well as a third-party observer, someone who's not in the SEC yet? These two guys are fighting about the same thing, saying, he says I do this, but I don't. But let me tell you what, you go back and look at the way God did his deal, and he's been doing it for years. That's what I heard out of those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, see, it was more of a passive thing that Saban was doing, whereas Jimbo was trying to defend himself and in the process saying, dude, better be careful about the accusations that he's making.
He's ratting him out at that point.
Because,
yeah.
I've been a part of his system before, and I've seen how things work.
Yeah, go talk to the people that have worked with him and see how he does it. It continues to be a fascinating discussion in college football. We will see where it goes. Will Jimbo Fisher stop talking for a little while? Will Saban stop talking for a little while? Will they both try to stop clarifying even after the SEC has reprimanded both of them, which means nothing? But will both of them kind of calm down a little bit here, Trey, and maybe let others speak? We'll see.
You know what? You're right about that, because as I've been telling Jimbo to shut the hell up, Nick Saban has gotten a little bit ridiculous this offseason also. He has really brought the histrionics with regards to college football being ruined if something's not done in the next couple of years. College football will always be around. Stop the sky is falling narrative, Nick Saban. You are still the king of that sport and will continue to be so in all likelihood until the day you retire in Tuscaloosa. And even then, your reputation will live on for a long time after that. Chill the freak out, Nick Saban.
Yeah.
You're being ridiculous here, and you're causing some unnecessary drama, too.
And he even brought Spurrier into it somehow. No, I didn't expect that one over the weekend.
I mean, we're a week away from Urban Meyer entering his name into this conversation.
Oh, my God. NIL, transfer portal, it is all being discussed. And Jimbo Fisher says one of the A&M incoming players, the 11 guys that are early enrollees, have an NIL deal. Okay, let me ask it from our side of it, Trey. Can media members ask players if they have NIL deals? That's allowed, right?
Yes.
You can ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
So if media that covers A&M really wanted to...
They would prefer you ask that, by the way, because that gives them a chance to promote whatever it is that they're endorsing.
Exactly. Let me tell you about Cane's Chicken Tenders. So they could theoretically, to go off what you said earlier about Jimbo maybe needing to calm down and not go over every little detail, they could go talk to these other 10 guys that that Jimbo claims don't have an NIL deal and ask every one of them, do you have an NIL deal? If one of them says yes, then they've caught Jimbo in a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So the question will be, does the group that covers A&M, which does incorporate some of the Houston media, and there's Houston media, Dallas media, San Antonio, would they want to go into a story like that, dig into the class, really look at it, go player by player? What is it, 22 guys in the class, something like that?
Well, 22 guys, yes, but we're talking about 11 guys here.
Right, whole class is 22,
right,
but the early enrollees are 11.
Mm-hmm.
So that feels like a little more dealable kind of number. Would they want to go and talk to those guys and find out?
There's a very easy avenue to pursue to potentially prove Jimbo Fisher is a liar.
I mean, you could just go on social media, right, and you could DM the kids if you got that relationship.
Yeah, you could.
And just find out.
You could offer to pay them $100 for an interview.
Yeah, and for the record, if all 11 of them had NIL deals, that wouldn't be a problem. Right? Couldn't Jimbo just come back and go, well, you know what? I didn't realize this other one happened after I talked to you guys or whatever.
It wouldn't be a problem. That's why it's so bizarre that Jimbo Fisher offered up that number.
Yeah. Well, and
honestly, if only one of 11 has an NIL deal right now, Chad, shame on the folks at A&M for not getting more of these guys NIL deals, because there's at least probably 3 or 4 5-star guys in that group. What the heck are you doing, guys, if only one of 11 has an NIL deal? But it's not true. All 11 have gotten something in all likelihood.
But we don't know that.
We don't.
Right?
But we're about to find out. Thanks, Jimbo.
Yeah, it may happen. There's a lot of interesting details that need to be figured out, and somehow these coaches may end up getting us to the details in a weird way. I will disagree with you slightly on Saban. I do love it when he talks. I don't know why he talks, but I love it. Because he's one of those industry leaders that somehow wants to keep talking about parity and stuff, and I think it's kind of silly, but I think he may be pointing us towards like the issue and the truth, and sometimes he doesn't even realize he's doing it. But I like some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth.
Normally I like what he says too. This goes back into the last football season, by the way, because he said some things about Henry Ruggs. That situation, that awful situation with the Raiders, and talking about how leadership, if it had been better with the Raiders, then Ruggs wouldn't have been in the position that he was in. It's like, give me a break, dude. I understand Ruggs is your guy, but people need to hold themselves accountable. And that was a terrible decision that he made that cost a person and an animal their lives. And now he may be in jail for the rest of his life as a result. Could people have tried to wrestle the car keys away from him? Maybe, but you don't know what happened in that situation. So stop trying to exonerate the guy when he's clearly the most at fault here. And then it carries over to him making these outlandish statements about college football being ruined or destroyed or devastated. I forget what the exact wording was that he used. But it's like, yeah, do things need to be corrected right now? Absolutely. But let's stop acting like the sport is about to go away in a couple of years if it doesn't.
Well, the other thing both of them are doing that they may want to stop is this. It feels alarmist to me when you're saying the government has to step in. They both said it. They both said the government has to step in.
Oh, see, I didn't hear that. That is absurd.
Both of them said the it's like, wait, fellas.
That is stupid.
Whether it's the NCAA or a newly created body or a new commissioner or whatever, the folks in Washington, D.C. have stuff to deal with. You guys need to handle your problems on your levels. Stop saying things like the government needs to step in. Like, that to me sounds silly.
They may be saying that as a result of knowing that their commissioner just went and met with Congress.
Well, that's
with senators,
you're right. Just saying
met
he
with
was
federal officials. So maybe that's part of the of where that line came from. But at the same time, no, the government does not need to step in here, guys. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that sounds weird.
Be adults and figure it out. And if you really don't trust the NCAA anymore, find that next organization who can serve as that centralized body to help set the rules. Seems like to me right now, the obvious choice that we have is the College Football Playoff Committee. Bill Hancock stays at the top of that, or you want to find somebody completely different, a Condoleezza Rice or somebody along those lines, that's fine. Get that part of it figured out. We don't need the federal government to come in and create laws to dictate how this sport needs to operate. We just need to get some adults in the room that are actually decent troubleshooters.
337-3776 is the Specs text line if you want to jump in on that. Also, Mavs down 3-0. We didn't talk anything about it in the segment because it's too depressing for me as a fan. So we got through that. I'm excited. Mavs down 3-0 after a 109-100 loss last night. They'll play game 4 of that series and try to stay alive tomorrow night. Up next, why today matters on this May 23rd. We always have some big Hollywood birthdays. Today we've got some nice sports birthdays to talk about, and a national day yesterday that brings up the question, if you had the unlimited resources and time, what would you do? We'll ask the question and get your thoughts next on The Horn.
I come from a generation of home invasions, and I got daddy issues, that's on me. Everything the four walls that taught me, may have is buried deep. That man knew a lot, but not enough to keep me past them streets. My life is a plot, twisted from directions that I can't see. Daddy issues all across my head, told me foul, I'm teary-eyed. Wanna throw my hands, I won't think out loud, a foolish
telling
pride.
You, if I lose Harry Styles hands, is mad right now. I mean, there's a focus about him that I really appreciate. New Kendrick Lamar?
Yes, sir.
There it is, yeah. You said you have listened to this whole record, Cam?
Yeah, I'm about 10 listens through the entire album.
Nice. Look at you. Now, how long an album are we talking about?
I think total time's an hour and 14 minutes.
Okay. No, not too bad. Not too bad. I like the albums to stay right around an hour now. We got way too many tracks out there. Nobody needs to be putting albums out with 26 tracks on it. There's no need for that.
I was off by a minute. Hour and 13 minutes.
Hour 13.
I'll do better. Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
It just depends. There are some hip-hop albums that do bits between songs.
Right.
At least that was the case back in the 1990s. I don't know if that's still going on today.
Intros and little vignettes
and
stuff.
Yeah, vignettes. There's the word.
Yeah.
Interludes. Yeah.
Yeah, interludes, right. Anything that was like 32 seconds, like right in the middle of something. Yeah. All right. So new Kendrick Lamar out there for you as well. We've also had Bob Moses. We had Surfaces, Bad Bunny, and Harry Styles all on the show today. Kendrick Lamar and Harry Styles. Now there's a festival. That's the Coachella you want to attend right there.
Both are coming to Austin. Kendrick Lamar is actually, his tickets went on sale for the Moody Center.
That's right.
On Thursday. And then Harry Styles is going to be here for what, a month? Sounds like
five shows.
Oh, okay.
He's five shows. He's going to go like Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday of a particular week. So my child is crossing her fingers that I will actually buy her tickets. I've told her that there will be no Christmas presents for the rest of her life if she gets the Harry Styles tickets. That's how it's going to work. All right. We hope you're having a good Monday. Lots of discussion about the state of college football. Jimbo Fisher with some additional comments over the weekend. If you care, he says he's looked at the list of the early enrollees at A&M. There are 11 of them, but only one of them has an NIL deal.
This isn't even going to take an official journalist to figure out if Jimbo Fisher is lying. There are so many good internet sleuths out there that somebody's going to figure this out in the next month. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah, you may be right. You may be right. Jimbo doing a little extra homework and extra talking, which is something that we know one of those things he is definitely good at. All right, coming up, some stems and seeds before we get out of here. Justin Thomas wins that PGA. We also have a couple NFL notes for you. If you missed the Nick Foles new team, we'll get you that story one more time. Right now, though, it is about 2:30, and let's tell you why today matters on this May 23rd.
Why Today Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, we were just talking a little music there with Kendrick Lamar. So, Trey, yesterday was National Buy a Musical Instrument Day. So if I could get you all of the means, the space, the time, I could get you a teacher that you're going to fully immerse yourself in learning, buying and learning an instrument, what is it?
Probably initially inclined to say guitar, but the ultimate answer would be, I guess if we had room in the house also is the other thing.
Yeah, I'll get you all that.
Okay, baby grand piano and learn how to play piano, because when you learn piano, according to those who know, it unlocks a lot of other instruments for you, including the guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad path to go.
Now, you're a drums guy. Would you just want to get better at the drums, or would you want something completely different?
I mean, I've gone down the drums path. Now, have I done, like, the technical teaching part of it? No. So if I was thinking percussion, I'd go piano. If I was going the other way, I would go guitar. But I think those are the two. I think your two answers are great. I'd considered like a saxophone thing, but ultimately the whole spit valve thing grosses me out.
Agreed.
So I'm gonna go one of those two routes. Honestly, my first gut is to say guitar. Like, start out with an acoustic guitar, really go after the learning process, and then get it, and head off that way.
Yeah, there's something really cool about good acoustic guitar.
Yeah, that's the thing. One of my regrets in life is that I didn't let my granddad teach me more about a guitar. He taught me some, but I didn't take enough. I should have made myself just take lesson after lesson from him and let him teach me more. And because he was a pretty good like rhythm guitar kind of player, it would have been a great start. And then I could have gone and got another teacher and really learned some of the more technical stuff, but I just didn't do it.
So he started to teach you chords?
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Man, that's the way to do it too.
Yeah.
Versus learning individual songs, because you learn sounds. And
right.
Eventually you put those sounds together.
Yep. He taught me and my brother the guitar and the mandolin and stuff. And I just didn't, I paid attention to some of it to a point, and then it just kind of faded away.
Mm.
And then I decided, I want to be a drummer and bang on stuff. And then I lost the guitar thing. I should have kept it up.
How much do you bang on the drums at your house now?
Oh, not much. I haven't done it in a while.
Okay.
Have not played the drums in a while.
Because it's a physical accomplishment to get through like 5 minutes of banging on the drums.
Oh, yeah, it is. No,
like it takes being in shape.
Yeah, that I have not done in a long time. I'm not like our man Eric Raines here in the building, where I'm an actual like professional drummer. That's a professional drummer. I'm not.
You don't tend to see a whole lot of fat drummers, do you?
No, that's true. It stays in pretty good shape. Yeah, you're right. There's just not a lot. Unless they're, even if they're smoking heavily, they're not fat.
No.
Yeah, that's going to keep you thin.
They're just not eating.
Yeah, exactly. So let us know, National Buy a Musical Instrument Day, if there's any other instrument you would play that we had not thought of.
Cam, what about you?
I've started piano lessons a few times, just haven't been able to stick to it. So I would say be able to play a piano, because there's so many good songs that you can play. Guitar, probably number two.
Yeah.
Being able to rock a sick guitar solo.
I know.
Oh, man.
It's that thing, man. I went to high school with a guy that was incredible on the piano, and just it was so impressive to watch. Like, it's just, I mean, all that it could do for you, they could, bringing people into your life, impressing women, impressing friends, impressing anybody. It's an impressive skill. So that's definitely the path I would go down. Speaking of pianos, this guy ended up kind of being involved, obviously being involved in a super piano career of sorts. Bernie Taupin, the musical side. I think this is right. Bernie's the lyric side, right, of Elton John. Elton is the music side.
Yes, that is correct.
Elton's the piano part. Bernie is putting the words into those piano songs. Bernie Taupin, 72 yesterday. For those of you that were fans of the Smiths back in the day, Morrissey turned 63 yesterday. I was never a Smiths guy. Were you into Morrissey and the Smiths at all?
Morrissey is maybe the best example of pompous rock star.
Mm.
The guy has planned and then canceled so many tours in the last 20 years, it's embarrassing that anybody still supports that schmo.
Also, here's a guy we've talked about a lot. Yesterday, Trey would have been the 94th birthday of T. Boone Pickens. So I don't know if the recorder still fires up when we say his name.
They've got to have stopped that by now.
I'm assuming they did, but maybe not. Happy Monday to all of you at the T. Boone Pickens Association, if you're still recording out there. He died in 2019, and some people don't know, he actually started at my alma mater. He started as an Aggie on a basketball scholarship. He got ultimately thrown out of school and lost his scholarship. I still don't know all those particulars.
Whoa.
But he ended up getting kicked out of the school and ended up at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma A&M at the time.
Why do you think he would have gotten kicked out of school back in the 1930s?
I'm sure he told the story. I just couldn't find it when I was reading up on it. I bet over the years T. Boone told that story. I don't know if he was partying too much or whatever. Back then, it could have been that he was hanging out with too many women. Was he bringing women to the room? Because, you know, it was an all-male campus at that point.
Cut from the team and lost the scholarship, transferred to Oklahoma A&M. All right, hold on.
Yeah, the particulars, though, I'm not exactly sure of. So,
let's see if ESPN still has the story up. I'll find it real quick.
Happy birthday to T. Boone yesterday. Also, for you boxing fans, today would have been marvelous. Marvin Hagler's 68th birthday. I forgot he died in 2021. Great boxer. One of the best boxers of my lifetime, no doubt. Also, I hate to say it, but I guess shout out to Buck Showalter. He's 66 today, and those damn Mets, Trey, they're playing pretty well. They're looking pretty good.
Oh, is that right?
Every time I want Buck Showalter and his team to not do well, if there's ever been a moment where I want his team not to do well, since I am a Braves guy, yeah, I don't need the Mets doing well. But right now the Mets are 8 games ahead of first place. 8 games up on the Phillies and Braves in the NL East.
Well, they just lost Max Scherzer for the next 4 to 6 weeks with, I think it's a lat issue. So we will see if they can keep that up. But I would rather the Mets be good than the Yankees. And the Yankees have been pretty good this year, too.
Yeah, no, that is true, too. Now, there was a good, nice, feel-good human story with them over the weekend. Did you catch that Starling Marte? The Met.
No, what?
So his grandmother just died, and the first swing, the first pitch he saw after he got back in there, he hits a home run.
Oh, good for
so
him.
So he goes off, and he's grieving the family, and so then all the Mets are like pointing at the sky, and he's emotional, and Buck Showalter gets emotional, so that was cool. I'll give him that one.
There was also the ugly story out of New York this weekend with the Yankees hosting the White Sox for the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Donaldson saying something that was deemed racist towards Tim Anderson.
Yep.
Called him Jackie, said that there had an inside joke that had been going on. And Tim Anderson had called himself a modern Jackie Robinson in an interview a little bit earlier on as well, wondering about needing to pick up the mantle for America's youth. Well, Josh Donaldson is a world-class a-hole, so I'm not inclined to give Josh Donaldson the benefit of the doubt here. Fortunately for the White Sox and Anderson, he hit the go-ahead homer, I think, in the first game of a doubleheader yesterday to help them sweep the doubleheader. So they kind of got the last laugh there.
Ah, the guy that made the comment got the last laugh.
The guy that received the comment.
Oh, that received it. Okay. So
Tim Anderson, yeah.
It ended up feeling like it may have gone the right way. Is there a possibility he was just being snarky? Like if the guy had said, I've always seen myself as a Jesus figure, and then you call him Jesus. Is that kind of what he was doing?
That's probably part of it, but Josh Donaldson also framed it as we've joked about that in the past, and apparently that wasn't true.
I see.
It's
okay.
Josh Donaldson, who has a reputation as being one of the biggest a-holes in Major League Baseball, taking his trash talk maybe a step too far.
His rep followed him to that game.
Right. Now, yeah. I don't know if that necessarily deserves the racist label, which is what Tony La Russa, ironically enough, was throwing out after the game. But guys on the White Sox side were pissed off about
that. Oh, they
that.
Were. Yeah, yeah, no, a lot of intensity there. And that team's going to galvanize around their anger. There's no doubt. All right, coming up, we'll get you stems and seeds. Before we get out of here, set you up for tonight in the NBA. Also, some NFL notes, including something on Kyler Murray. And which team ends up on Hard Knocks? We already know that one. But which team is going to be Hard Knocks in season? We'll tell you that, too, on the Horn.
sharing a love I thought would last forever.
Sounds like we've got somebody on the old school side with new music. Moonlight. How are we finishing out, Cameron?
Harry Styles.
Harry can get that deep voice. You never know.
So this song made popular from the new Marvel series Moon Knight and now has become a TikTok trend.
Okay.
Artist name, got to be top five name of all time.
All right.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
There you go.
It's a good name.
I've never was an Engelbert Humperdinck guy, but hell of a voice. All right. Engelbert, along with Kendrick Lamar and Surfaces and Bob Moses and Bad Bunny and Harry Styles. They've all got new stuff out there. Cameron playing the new music for you today. We hope you're having a good Monday. Remember, Ball Don't Lie coming up, then Soccer Matters and Instant Serious at 8. Lots of stuff for you this week on the Horn. Check out hornfm.com. If you miss anything, Texas baseball, weird game this week. 9 a.m. on Wednesday. I am not making that one up. 9 a.m. on Wednesday, 8:45 a.m. pregame for Texas and Oklahoma State to start the Big 12 tournament.
How long you figure that game is going to go on Wednesday, Chad? I'm really asking is, when do we start on Wednesday?
By the way we set the clocks up, you know, 12:15 is when we're coming in, something like that. But, you know, it's baseball. You never can tell.
College baseball games feel like they almost always go like 3.5 hours.
They sometimes can go long. The good news about the Big 12 tournament, since it's in Arlington, it's all weather controlled. So at least we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about weather issues. But Wednesday, we will be on as soon as that game is done between Texas and Oklahoma State. All right, let's go Stems and Seeds here. We'll talk some NFL. Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Both these stories involve the same team, Trey. Kyler Murray won't be at the OTAs this week. He wants a long-term deal. They signed him to that fit. No, signed him. They took the option on the fifth year. So the voluntary stuff is now involuntary. The mandatory stuff happens in June. So we'll see if Kyler shows up. Also, it is Arizona. Trade that will be the in-season Hard Knocks on HBO. I still can't believe they've let a team agree to this. It was the Colts first, and now it's the Cardinals in-season Hard Knocks.
You're a fan of the preseason version, but you weren't an adamant watcher of the in-season Hard Knocks, correct?
I did not watch a second of it. If they ever did a team I liked, one of my teams, that would be the test, but I can't see myself watching it in-season.
I might watch it just to see how out of his element Cliff Kingsbury is as a head coach.
Okay,
that's
maybe
one reason why I would consider tuning in for a little bit, but even still, I'm probably not in.
So this year you get Dan Campbell on the regular and Cliff Kingsbury on the in-season?
So
that,
Dan
that could be entertaining.
Yeah, Dan Campbell is interesting because he's such a character.
Yeah, that's true. The other NFL note we mentioned, Nick Foles is an Indianapolis Colt 2-year deal, Trey. So is it Nick Foles battle Sam Ellinger, or is it Nick Foles walks in as the backup, Sam Ellinger may need to go somewhere else, or is Sam now third string?
I would assume it's a meritocracy, but who knows? Frank Reich is obviously has a soft spot in his heart for Nick Foles for helping him win a Super Bowl as the OC of the Philadelphia Eagles, but we'll see. I'm rooting for both guys, both being Austin guys, but ultimately I hope Sam Ellinger is the backup quarterback. One other NFL note, Chad, the Cleveland Browns are bringing back Jadeveon Clowney on a 1-year deal for $11 million. Apparently, he was a big reason why Deshaun Watson changed his mind on going to Cleveland. Asked Jadeveon Clowney, they were teammates in Houston, of course.
Oh, right, okay.
Asked Jadeveon about his time in Cleveland and whether he enjoyed it. Jadeveon, who was a free agent at that time, not necessarily re-signing with the Cleveland Browns, said, dude, you're going to love it there. Cleveland was a great experience for me.
Interesting. There are a lot of ways I've said I'd be a bad GM. I would sign Jadeveon Clowney until he's 80. That's another reason I'd be terrible. Whenever he's long done, I'm such a fan of that dude. So for Cleveland fans, I hope they enjoy that. All right, Ball Don't Lie coming up with Rod and Hard. Soccer Matters at 7, talking about their draw over the weekend. And Instant Serious at 8. Check out the Monday lineup if you haven't done it. We'll be back for a Tuesday show tomorrow, getting you ready for game 4 of that Mavs series. Aren't you excited? All right, fine. Have a good Monday. Enjoy the Eastern Conference tonight. See you!